Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Stephanie L., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Friday, April 26th, 2023, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are on page 16. We're reading the second full paragraph, beginning with, "There is, however, a vast amount of fun," ending with, "or we perish." We are reading and commenting on that one paragraph this morning. Today's readers are Maria M. reading the text, Betsy H. reading page 164, and Julie E. B. is our backup reader. Newcomer greeters, Christina M. and announcements today is going to be Shelley E. The reference ID number for yesterday, Thursday, April 25th, 2023, is 21,348 or 21348. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,350 or 21350. OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Margaret D. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Here's the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Pass.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Margaret D. I'll now ask Tanya P. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. This is Tanya P., recovering in Michigan. And these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA should never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to be of service.
Well, thank you so much, Tanya P. How a meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, please let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are on page 16. We're reading the second full paragraph this morning, beginning with, "There is, however, a vast amount of fun," ending with, "or we perish." We are reading and commenting on one paragraph this morning, and I will now ask Maria M. to please begin reading.
Hi, everyone. This is Maria M., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Connecticut. Happy to be of service today. "There is, however, a vast amount of fun about it all. I suppose some would be shocked at our seeming worldliness and levity, but just underneath there is deadly earnestness. Faith has to work 24 hours a day in and through us, or we perish." Yeah, so I remember coming into my first meeting years ago and just feeling like angry, like, why are these people? These people obviously aren't as sick as me if they could be laughing and having a good time here, and sort of being angry at this seeming worldliness and levity. But now it's just, you know, you can't possibly imagine going from that point to being able to laugh at our past and all the stuff that we've done. But, you know, we come in with morbid reflection, self-pity, resentment, and that is just all spiritual sewage. And the reason why those recovered people are laughing and having fun about it is because they've cleared out the steps teach us how to clear out that spiritual sewage and then maintain our pipes, you know, for the rest of our lives. And that needs to be cleared out. And the flip side is, we know we have that deadly earnest. We know this is very serious, and we know that we have to take action every day. You know, we can't stay clean on yesterday's shower. And when it says faith has to work in us 24 hours a day, in and through us, I mean, this is a program of action. And if you're a newcomer, I know that might seem like so ambiguous, but how do we do that? But thank goodness in this book, page 86 gives us clear-cut directions on what we need to do, simple but not easy instructions on what we do in the morning, exactly what to pray for, what we need to do all throughout the day to maintain maintain our spiritual fitness and what to do at the end of the day. And to the newcomer, I know that this seems like so out of reach and ambiguous and confusing, but that's why I would just urge you to get a sponsor as soon as possible, because the sponsor will take you through the steps, teach you how to clear out that spiritual sewage and what you need to do to get to this miracle and this freedom, you know. And I always thought like the rules and restrictions and all this stuff I have to do, like, oh, that would keep me in prison. But I've realized now that that's what really gives me the ability to have that levity and that laughter. It gave me the freedom. I'm no longer, I heard on the meeting yesterday, I'm no longer taking orders from cookies or chocolate. And so just get a sponsor. A sponsor will hold your hand, connect with fellows. They'll lead you through this. This is for you. You're not a unicorn. You're not sicker than the rest of us. I think all of us have felt that way. But all we really need is a recovered sponsor and this book to get the miracle. It's for you, too. So thank you for letting me share it, Pat.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Maria M. Thanks for getting us started. Well, we're now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. If you shared on, let's see, Wednesday or Thursday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to 3 minutes to allow time for as many people as possible to share too. I'll remind you with the timer when your time is up. And when you hear the timer, please finish up promptly. So I'm going to ask for first name, last initial, and where you are calling from and who would like to share.
Jeremy Young. Can I go, Marie?
Jeremy. And then I think I heard Anne Marie.
Joan Marie M.
Or Joan Marie. Joan Marie M. Got ya.
Thank you. Darcy?
Yeah.
Was that Darcy?
Yeah, Darcy with a D.
Got you, Dara.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Jeremy Yellen from Durango, Colorado.
Jeremy, if you could hold on just 1 second. We're just going to keep
the
names. I'll let you know when it's time, okay? Thank you so much. Was there anyone else who would like to share? All right, I've got Jeremy, I've got Joe Marie M, I've got Dara C. We'll start here. And Jeremy, if you give us your last initial and where you're calling from, and you'll be followed by Joe Marie M.
Jeremy Y. from Durango, Colorado. So, yeah, I'm grateful, compulsive, recovering overeater. And I'm feeling really grateful that I'm here after 2 weeks of eating how I wanted to. God and me connected with my vulnerability to come to this meeting. And I have the feeling of like being at the top of the slippery slope, and the fears of like the pattern of myself and the pattern of feeling heavy and my stomach bothering me and not being able to love or take care of my family, like the fear of that pattern. And I'm really working on loving and accepting this part of me that for a really long time, maybe because I'm like on the bipolar spectrum, has wanted to sabotage every 2 weeks. And the interesting thing is my situation feels really unique because I've been binge eating. I was binge eating for like 20 years, but I lost 90 pounds like 13 years ago, and I own a health food company, and I just sold a health coaching package to somebody because I have lived a lot of health, and I have never been in this place of like doing my best to stop the binge right whenever it started. And I had a good night's sleep and I haven't eaten anything today. So just looking for my why of healing myself and being that example so that I can create heaven on earth and bring God to this planet. And it's okay that I made mistakes because I'm a man that's safe to make mistakes. And God bless all of you with strength and vulnerability. Thanks for holding this meeting for us.
Well, thank you so much, Jeremy Y. from Colorado. Next up is Joan Marie M., followed by Dara C. And Joan Marie, are you, can you please?
Well, I was talking to myself. Yeah, there we go.
Great.
These little buttons. Joan Marie M., recovered in Nevada by the grace and power of God. Wow, that was a hard act to follow, Jeremy. Thank you. And they all are. And what stands out is a lot, like the fun that we have in the face-to-face meetings, and even on this meeting we can hear the laughter and the joy. But then there's the depth of meeting that comes when we share, you know, of how we were before and what we are now through the grace, for me, the grace and power of God. But what it said here is that stood out a lot was faith has to work 24 hours a day in and through us or we perish. That's sharing the message, that's sponsoring, that's having a sponsor, that is coming to these meetings and sharing, because you never know one or two words that you say that will spark life into another person that feels so hopeless. And, you know, it is a spiritual program. So to me, that means that every single day I have to spend that time with God, my higher power, and increase in knowing Him and loving Him and letting Him love me and love others through Him. So I'm so grateful for such a beautiful program, and that we are all different and we all express ourselves in a different way. But again, I like to stress the importance of sharing, because you never know, the bulb goes off and, oh my God, I've realized now what this is all about. May you find Him now. Half measures, nothing. We stood at the turning point. So with that, I pass. Thank you. I'm anxious to hear everybody else's share. God bless. Bye-bye.
No, thank you so much, Joan Marie M. And I think that was from, you were from Nevada, I'm pretty sure. And next up, we've got Dara C.
Hi, good morning. Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you perfectly.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your service and everyone doing service today. Happy Friday, everyone. This is Dara C. I'm a recovered compulsive eater in Wilmington, Delaware. And when I heard this paragraph, what came to mind was the friendships that I have since being in OA almost 5 years now, and the connections that I've built, and how we can laugh at ourselves, because sometimes it's quite ridiculous, but we get it on a deeper level that these relationships I have are deeper than ones I've had for, you know, 40 years. We can go right to the heart of things and connect on this really deep, meaningful, spiritual level, whereas some of the things I would say to a fellow, if I were to say to my sister or friends outside of program, they would think I was loony. They'd be like, what the hell is she talking about? But I don't know, these relationships, it's just what I was thinking about, is just how real they are, because this really is life and death, and we get that, but we can laugh at ourselves. There is joy, you know, especially as we recover and we grow spiritually and we start showing up and living and not just surviving the day, but actually showing up for life and trying to grow into who God would have us be. There is so much joy. And you know what? I've got a lifetime of shame. and guilt and remorse and beating myself up and self-loathing, hating myself, this, you know, negative self-talk that goes on all the time in the background. And, you know, just I've had a lifetime of that. And so, you know, I do need levity. I do need laughter. I need to never forget how serious this condition is, but I can't take it so seriously all the time that I cross over and I'm beating myself up. There has to be a balance. I feel like addicts are so black and white, all or nothing, and that sweet spot in life for me has been a balance. You know, it's not good or bad, right or wrong. It just is. And yeah, that's just what was coming to mind today, just this gratitude for these really amazing friendships that I found in this fellowship. So I hope everyone has a great weekend, and thank you so much for letting me share. I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Dara C. from Delaware. And if you're just joining us, let me fill you in on where we're at. We're in Bill's story. We're on page 16. We read the second full paragraph, beginning with, "There is, however, a vast amount of fun," ending with, "or we perish." And we're reading and commenting on that one paragraph this morning. And if you haven't shared on any vision meeting on Wednesday or Thursday of this week, we would love to have you share. Please give me your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Maria L.
I think I heard nothing, actually. I thought I heard Maria.
Maria L.
Okay, I think I heard Maria L.
Oh, Maria
Nancy
C.
L.
Okay, I've got Nancy. I've got Maria C. Nancy L.
Can I be heard? Monique F.
I've got you, Monique. F as in Frank. Is that correct? Monique F, I believe. Can you? Okay, I'm going to go with that. Who else would like to share? Okay, I think we're going to be going three at a time today. So I've got Maria C., Nancy L., and Monique F. And if you could please let us know where you're calling from. And Maria, you're up first, followed by Nancy.
Thank you. Thank you so much, everybody. I'm so happy to be here. Maria C. in California. And thank you to the people who have shared before me. You know, it's this paragraph, it is describing our lives as recovered people, but also giving us clear instructions about how to keep what we have. This worldliness and levity only comes from our faith and the works that we're doing that our faith is guiding us to do. And I know for me, I see the joy and worldliness and levity inside these rooms, but I'm also learning to see them outside these rooms. As I became recovered, I started to rejoin life, you know. But if I want to keep what life looks like, I have to keep doing this work. And I know for me, for a series of circumstances yesterday, my daily disciplines had to happen very out of order. And I was feeling a little off. And when I sat down to pray and meditate, I had to write down, you know, God, you know, what is your will for me? And let me follow it. And, you know, I've got to tell you, I ended my day with a meeting I don't normally go to because I was the lead speaker. And it felt so good to be of service and to do that work, because faith without works is dead. And if I want to wake up today and live a life of joy, I've got to follow these directions. It's a, this paragraph, it's a celebration, it's a warning, but it's a set of directions. And I'm so grateful to God that I can see that and I can follow them. And that's what I've got. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Happy Friday.
Well, thank you so much, Maria C. from California. Next up, we've got Nancy L., followed by Monique F. And Nancy, please let us know where you're calling from.
Oh, thank you, moderator. Welcome, newcomers. This is Nancy L. and Eric. Beautiful paragraph. Faith has to work 24 hours a day in and through us or we perish. And I just remember my first several months in the rooms, that was in 2004, so 20 years ago. And I heard people share about their experience in OA. I never, ever had heard much about OA other than I didn't think it was for me. And I started to believe, it's kind of like I had faith in them first, because what they were sharing and the expression on a lot of their faces, the expression I always wanted to have of peace and joy and contentment, and these people had that. I think that's why I stuck around. So I'm very grateful that now it was given to me, and now it's going through me to others, and I'm able to sponsor and share with others the hope that you can have in these meetings to be freed from the enemy, if you will, and the disease of compulsive overeating. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Nancy L. from Arizona. And Monique F., you're up next. And if you can please let us know where you're calling from.
I'm Monique, yeah, from Tennessee. Can I be heard?
We can hear you.
Okay, thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here. I am a compulsive overeater. And, of course, I love this paragraph, too. I'm so grateful for the honesty and vulnerability that I'm hearing. You know, when I joined OA, it was about 3 years ago when I really understood the depth and weight of this disease. And truly, miracles have been performed. You know, I went from being 400 pounds to like what this is talking about, worldliness and levity. You know, from sitting in one spot to being able to get up and play pitch with my son to go swimming. And like, that was so much fun. You know, I went through the OA literature and gave away over 200 pounds during that time while I was working the steps in the OA literature, and the weight just was falling off. I was neutral with food and everything. And I've never been the size that I am before as an adult. And God is like telling me, see, I told you it wasn't about the weight, because I'm learning now that when I was wearing a 5X, I was a compulsive overeater spiritually, physically, and mentally. And now that I can wear a small and a medium, I'm still a compulsive overeater. I know a lot of people, I hear people say it's not about the weight, but when you're 400 and 500 pounds, it's a process, and it's a really important journey for me to know that God doesn't want me to be that big. I'm sorry. And I never want to be that big again. So that is a miracle to be able to get up and run and play with your kids. And also, I've been diagnosed as bipolar. I've had severe depression. And the miracle happened. It's no label that can keep me from getting this miracle. And so I had a lot of rebellion wanting to get on this meeting this morning just because it's the big book and I am an alcoholic. And I went through the big book as an alcoholic eating. And so now that my food is where it is, the book doesn't even sound the same, and my sponsor comes here. And so I'm experiencing a lot of different changes at one time. And I logged on to a regular meeting, and I was started listening, and I was like, I just can't do this shit. Like, I'm going back. I got to log in a vision. And so I'm just in a place of being humbled in a much smaller body. And I told God back then, let me go to any length. And that's my same prayer. Let me go to any length. I never want to go back to living. After you get a taste of this life, I don't never want to go back to what it was before. And so much prayers and much thanks. Thank you, moderator. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Monique F. from Tennessee, and miracles abound. All right, we can get some more names. If you'd like to share, please give your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from.
Laura H. from Washington.
Loretta H.
I think I heard Laura H. Loretta H.
Sherry H. M.
I've got you, Sherry H. M.
Toby K.
Was that Toby K?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. Anyone else like to get in on this lineup? All right, we'll go with that. I've got Laura H., Loretta H., Sherry H. M., and Toby K., and please let us know where you're calling from. Laura H., you're up first, followed by Loretta H.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Laura H. from Washington, compulsive overeater. I am trying to get out of myself and start talking more in meetings. I've been really quiet, and that's really unusual for me. I talk too much everywhere, and I think that's reflecting a shift in my recovery and my abstinence lately, so I'm kind of feeling grateful. It's sort of the old style of take the cotton out of your ears and stick it in your mouth, so... Anyway, as we were reading, the last part of that, faith has to work 24 hours a day in and through us or we perish. I was reflecting on that, and I thought to myself that faith has to start with action for me. It's not just a thought and a feeling thing. And for me, that means I have to read the book every day. I have to talk to someone every day. I have to journal. I have to do the things that I've set myself up to do. Like if I'm going to walk, I follow through and do that. Since I'm a quit forgetter, I won't stick with my abstinence. I'll start to slide into all kinds of other places. And my anger and my resentments are the thing that get me in trouble quickly. They get in the way for me. And if I don't address my resentments every day, then I start to get numb. And numbing for me is part of the poison that keeps me in the food. So when I'm numbing from resentment, it leads quickly to me for overeating. And then I've lost everything again, and I'm back. I've been in OA since 2001, actively recovered from bulimia, but I've been up and down binging with sugar and having all kinds of reasons and justifications. As long as I'm not doing bulimic behaviors and totally not faith-filled, not praying. And what I'm noticing, which is so cool for me, is that I've naturally just begun to say the seven-step prayer. And when I say, you know, God, I offer myself to you, I'm starting to also say, I offer my food to you and my clients and my just everything. I just offer all of it to you. And I've become faith-filled in a way that's really new for me and really truly feeling that. And I'm grateful for that. Today I have 70 days of abstinence, which I'm stoked about. It's been a long time since I've had that with sugar and binge eating and all of that. I've lost 10 pounds, and I'm just feeling like, okay, I've got physical effects of recovery, and I'm feeling it through and through, and I've had a wonderful sponsor who I think has just saved me. I'm so grateful for her help. So anyway, that's all. I hope everybody has a wonderful Friday and going into the weekend. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Laura H. from Washington. And next up, we've got Loretta H., followed by Sherry H.M.
Thank you all, and thank you, my precious God. You are saving my life. Loretta H., recovering in North Carolina. I love the shares. They bring me back to my very happy spot. There's a paradox in this. First, it talks about levity, and then it talks about perishing. And I, as an anorexic, I was just sharing this with somebody this morning, that when I was anorexic, I got high. Today, I have level, I can never say that word, because I float. I'm not high and I'm not low. I'm just very easily floating because I'm free. And that's the difference between, for me, and then there's the paradox is we perish. And there are four paradoxes in our program. And I just brought it up on my Google. And it was interesting because it's We surrender to win, we give away to keep, we suffer to get well, and we die to live. And that's the crux of that being humble instead of humiliated. Because I always also equated humiliation with either being humble or less than. I mean, it was that extreme because I'm a lady of extremes. And today I just have so much freedom because I get to live my best life, but there's always death threats if I don't take the action of working the steps as if I'm on day one. I call it green peace, keeping it green as I can, because my darkest past is my greatest asset. With that, I refer to death and misery for others. But I cannot keep this unless I give it away. I cannot have this unless I totally surrender. And for me, surrendering is stop the debating society. So I'm so grateful today that I get to surrender to win. And I'm winning all of you in my heart and bringing you along in this day. And with that, I pass.
Press 1 to listen to new messages.
Well, thank you so much, Loretta H. from North Carolina. And next up, I can hear a lot of background noise, so if you're not in the lineup, speak next. Please hit star 1 to mute your phone. You need to clear the line. Thank you. All right, I've got Sherry H.M. followed by Toby K.
Hi. Did you call Toby?
There you are. I actually called Sherry.
I'm sorry.
H-M. Sherry H-M.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Sherry, we can't hear you. If you can hit star 1 to unmute.
There we go. All right. This is Sherry H.M., gratefully recovered sugar addict, compulsive overeater from Washington State. And I am just so grateful for this program. I'm so grateful for all of you guys because I know this speaks to, there is a lot of joy in it. I just love to laugh. And my friends and I, we laugh a lot. And, you know, in program, yeah, we do laugh. And, but this, is really about we must help others or we die. We die with suicide on the layaway plan, suicide by fork. And it's just, it's for me, it's so important. For a while, I don't know, a year or so ago, I was kind of resting on my laurels. Well, I was resting on my laurels anyway. And I could feel everything just kind of getting, you know, not, I was still abstinent, but, you know, I wasn't working very hard and I was thinking, oh no, you know, I could fall off and I didn't want to fall off. So fortunately I got, you know, started working really hard again with a sponsor and the program really, really works. I didn't think it could work for me. I thought, oh yeah, how could I ever be without missing my, you know, for me it was chocolate. And I thought there is no way, but this program really works. It's a spiritual program and God has just relieved me of the obsession. I don't think about it. I really don't care about it, not one bit. And that is such a miracle. I don't think, you know, a lot about food. If my emotional sobriety, if I turn the volume down on that and I'm not doing like the 10th steps and looking around all the time for fear and resentment and, you know, self-pity, self-seeking, all that, and putting those little fires out right away, then, you know, I could think, oh, gosh, maybe I, you know, would have this food, but I nip it in the bud, not me, but God. And I'm just so grateful to all of you guys. And thank you so much. And I pass. Have a great weekend. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Sherry H.M. from Washington State. Next, we have Toby K., and please let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, it's Toby K. I'm listed as Long Island, New York, but actually I'm in Israel now for the Passover holiday with my son. My son lives in Israel, and and I find it very challenging. You know, it's not my house, not my kitchen, and not my cooking, that's for sure. Unfortunately, I'm really struggling, and I feel challenged. And my daughter-in-law does not cook like me, like a lot of spices and a lot of stuff and a lot of desserts. The smell could knock me out of the room. I did. I left the room because it was just too overwhelming. So, but anyhow, I have to keep my faith in the program and keep my faith in God and just do what I can and do what God instructs me to stay alive and keep on my program. So I appreciate that I could share because it's not, you know, a very comfortable place to be. And thank you so much. I pass.
Well, thank you so much. New York on the member list, currently in Israel. So we're going to get another list of names. But before I do, I just joined us late. We're on page 16, second paragraph. There is, however, a vast amount of fun ending with, or we perish. Who would like to share? Please give your first name and last initial.
Mary Ellen T.
Jeremy Wiles.
Mary Ellen T, was that?
Yes.
Okay. And Jeremy, I'm sorry, since you've already shared, we need to open it for other people to share. Who else would like to share?
Tanya P.
Tanya P. Got you, Tanya.
Elizabeth A.
Okay, and we'll stop there. Elizabeth, we may not get to you. It will just depend on the timing here. But I've got Mary Ellen T. followed by Tanya P. followed by Elizabeth A. And please let us know where you're calling from. Mary Ellen, you're up.
Good morning. My name is Mary Ellen T. and T is in Tango, and I'm in Oregon. And I am a compulsive overeater, and I just felt really inspired to want to share about the words about, you know, faith must live within us, 24 hours. And that's something in my program that I've been trying to grow is my relationship and my reliance upon my higher power that goes beyond just the big investment that I give it in the morning time, and how can I have that conscious contact and reliance on my higher power through the day. And I love how the 11th step gives me the opportunity to review my day and to think about the different stages of life that I'm going to be stepping out onto, because in the third step, in the big book, you know, it talks about, you know, God is the director, and we're the actor. And so I'm about to step out in the next stage of life, and how does my higher power, how does she want me to, you know, to be? How does she want me to act? What type of emotions does she want me to show up with? Am I thinking about the principles of the big book that have been repeatedly shared throughout all the chapters, which is, you know, to be of service, to be, you know, patient and loving and tolerant. And so I love this paragraph, you know, because it does. It makes me think, how am I thinking about you know, my faith in at lunchtime? You know, I have a little alarm on my cell phone that goes off a couple times in the afternoon to remind me to check in with Mama. That's the name of my higher power. I call her Mama, and you know, check in with her. How am I doing? What stage am I about to step out onto? How does she want me to be, and how does she want me to carry myself and carry the message? Do I have the love and the light, you know, that I feel for her, and the excitement to be alive and to not be burdened and drowning in the self-absorption of wanting to eat and about me, you know, the focus is always on me. And so now this faith and this practice is really based on me trying to be of service to other people and to be directable by my higher power. That's it for me. I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Mary Ellen T. from Oregon. Tanya P., you're up next, followed by Elizabeth A.
Thank you, Stephanie, and everyone who I shared. This is Tanya P., recovering in Michigan with 17 days of entire abstinence under my belt. Relapse is part of my story. I like this paragraph a lot because it reminds me that a sense of humor is absolutely essential to my recovery, but underneath that humor is this deadly earnestness. And I was talking with an OA fellow last night and complaining, I don't want to have compulsive overeating in my story. I don't want to do this anymore. And she said, well, I'm grateful. And I'm like, how can you be grateful for this? And she said to me, if I didn't have compulsive overeating, I never would have met you. And I've never actually met her in person. But she is one of the people who has helped me release over 100 pounds. And I too, like another fellow said on this line today, don't want to go back. I do not want those pounds back. And I do want a relationship with my higher power. So I thank you, my fellows, for being there for me on a daily basis. And I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Tanya T in Michigan, and congrats on 17 days. And Elizabeth A, we have like 2 minutes. Can you do a 2-minute share, please?
Hi, this is Elizabeth A. I am also from Michigan, and I have pushed myself to share. I'm not sure why I don't love sharing, but I came into Overeaters Anonymous in 1986, and by the grace of God, have never left, no matter what. And yesterday was a tough day. I had a day just bogged down in self-pity. I am so grateful for the honesty. I do suffer from depression, and what comes to me years ago, there was someone that said, if I don't feel the pain, I won't feel the joy. So if I'm numbing pain, then I'm numbing joy. And today is a new day. You know, I got through it without picking up by the grace of God and some phone calls and just focusing on God and not all of my stuff, right? Just the clutter of my life. But I'm just grateful to be here and just to put one foot in front of the next, no matter how many days or years or months. I need God's help. Thanks.
No, perfect timing. Thank you so much, Elizabeth A. from Michigan. And we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Betsy H., can you please read a vision for you?
Hi, I'm Betsy H., recovered compulsive reader in California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.